With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This hump show started talking about an historic, record-breaking baseball All-Star game, plus the news that Manny Machado will soon be on his way to the Dodgers in the final stages of negotiations and paperwork and medical tests to send Machado from Baltimore to Los Angeles. So that was the big news until an hour and a half ago, and then boom, the NBA decided we're going to throw some weight around here, and we find out some more recent breaking news that we've been passing along over the last 90 minutes, weaving it in and out and trying to give you whatever details we can find as they become available. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This was the tweet from Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports 90 minutes ago. The Raptors and San Antonio Spurs are engaged in serious talks on a trade surrendered around. Can I just start that again? It is Hump Show after all. The Spurs and Raptors are engaged in serious talks on a trade centered around Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan, league sources told Yahoo Sports. Now, according to Shams, and now other NBA insiders who are also waking up and posting big news, talks between the Spurs and the Raptors have gotten hot and heavy over the last couple of days. The deal would send Leonard to Toronto. Kawhi, of course, demanding a trade out of San Antonio, deciding that bridge was burned, couldn't play there anymore. Meanwhile, the Spurs were not inclined to send him to Los Angeles without everybody, including LeBron James, in the trade. And so they weren't looking anymore at the Lakers' option as a trade partner. They were trying to find somebody else. The Lakers were interested. So were the Clippers, the Celtics, the Sixers. All of these teams emerged as potential dance partners. But the Spurs, because of who they are and because they didn't have to make a trade with Kawhi still under contract, they decided they're going to do what's best for them. And it sounds like Toronto is what's best for the Spurs. Now, here's a wrinkle. According to league sources, again, we're talking about sources inside the NBA front offices or inside the NBA offices itself. So these sources, if you know these insiders like Adrian Wojnarowski, like Shams, you know their sources are rock solid. They don't put this kind of stuff out there until they're sure. And they are hardly ever wrong. They hardly ever miss the mark. Kawhi's let it be known that he has no intention of re-signing with Toronto. Even if they would trade him, he's not interested in playing there once his contract is up. So he's scheduled to enter free agency 11 months from now. Is Toronto actually going to give up DeMar DeRozan, an all-star, an all-NBA caliber player, for one season with Kawhi Leonard? It's a risk. It played out perfectly for the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Pacers when they make that trade and Paul George decides to stay. He's not leaving Tornado Alley. He's not leaving the Southwest. He's staying put, even though he wanted to go to Los Angeles as well. Is Toronto willing to take that risk, though? Sounds like. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So again, we'll let you know as soon as we've got anything more concrete but NBA free agency with its breaking news in the middle of the night. That's why we're here. Made our hump show infinitely more exciting. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, we started the night talking about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, but more importantly, about Manny Machado and the fact that he will be on the move by the end of the week. There were a lot of other teams that were involved until pretty much all the noise faded late on Tuesday, Eastern time. So DC, Eastern time, All-Star game. I was really hoping that the Orioles and the Dodgers and MLB would allow Machado to enjoy his last game as a member of the Orioles, this All-Star game. But of course, this was all just, it's swirling all day long. And while there were still a bunch of other teams involved, say, in the afternoon, by the time we got to the first pitch, it became pretty apparent that it was one team. And then it started to circulate that other teams believed the Dodgers were about to make the trade with the Orioles. So again, a trickle-down effect, different reports during the game. Machado himself said he'd heard nothing definitive from his agent before they got to first pitch, but he did have a message for Orioles fans pregame.
Nothing much love for them. I'm here starting again for the second time, first time as a shortstop because of them. I've always been there for me, always supported me. I've gone above and beyond for everything for that city. And, you know, as long as, you know, I'm somewhere else, my heart will always be in Baltimore.
As long as I'm somewhere else, my heart will always be in Baltimore. Machado with what is a career first half, a career best first half in multiple categories. 24 home runs, 65 RBI. His batting average is at .315. He wanted to play shortstop. This move to shortstop is one reason why he says that he's having such an incredible first half. The Dodgers afford him that opportunity. They lost Corey Seager, their all-star shortstop for the season. And while they've got multiple players who can fill in at shortstop and who do, it's been a bit of a platoon. Based on injuries, based on matchups, based on days off, they move guys around from the infield to the outfield. Well, Manny Machado will play shortstop for the Dodgers and absolutely offers them a bat like what they lost in Seager, both defense and offense with Seager. And here they are locked in a very tight race atop the NL West. They've got the half game lead over the Diamondbacks. They just got the lead in the division a few days before the All-Star break. But the Rockies are only two out, and the Giants are now above 500, only four games out. So you've got four teams separated by four games atop the NL West. A lot of injuries and moving parts and jostling positions for the Dodgers through the first 95 games or so. This could offer them some stability at the position as well as another bat. Not quite done, but finalizing the details. Again, there were a host of other teams that were still in the mix, trying to sweeten the pot, hoping to be the highest bidder before everything got really quiet with the Orioles. And Jim Bowden, former Major League Baseball GM, was on CBS Sports HQ post-game from D.C., giving the latest.
Andrew Friedman and his staff kind of laid out what they thought was a good prospect cost and as far as they would go. They didn't deviate from that, and they were able to make that deal. You know, there were other teams like the Yankees and the Phillies and the Brewers that were also in on Manny Machado. And in the case of the Yankees, they talked, they played. They weren't willing to put in Justus Sheffield or Clint Frazier. They didn't get him. So the Dodgers ended up, because they have a deep farm system and they were willing and able to put Diaz in the deal because of their outfield depth, were able to get him at a price that they're comfortable with.
Yeah, that Jim Bowden on CBS Sports HQ referring to Yusniel Diaz, who's the outfield prospect for the Dodgers, one of their top in the farm system, and he had two home runs in the Futures game on Sunday. He's got some good power. He's batting for a relatively high average, but they are okay to part with him because of some of the other young players they've got who can roam the outfield. So all minor league talent going from Los Angeles to Baltimore in exchange for Manny Machado. I'm not sure the Dodgers could be getting a better scenario right here, as long as Machado continues with what he's doing, and there's no guarantee of that. But this makes their team a lot better, even if it is a player they're renting for a few months. Who knows? Maybe Machado will want to be in Los Angeles. Maybe this will entice him. He gets in the organization. Dave Roberts, the manager. The players all speak highly of him. He's obviously a former Dodger, a former World Series champ himself. So there could be a lot of influence there over the next few months. It's an extra opportunity for the Dodgers to court Manny if they want him long term. Now, going back to the NBA, what we're hearing is that's not even a possibility for Kawhi Leonard. The Raptors can put on the full court press, but Kawhi has zero interest in signing a long-term deal to stay with the Raptors.
So, that's how we do in Toronto.
Is it worth it? Raptors fans, is it worth it? And Spurs fans, maybe you thought this day was coming, but now that you know it could be DeMar DeRozan taking Kawhi's place on the roster, what's your reaction? A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter. DeStar says this, as a Spurs fan, I'll take DeRozan, but Kawhi will BS for a year. I don't think it'll be a Paul G situation. It sucks because we could have been better contenders in the West, but I heard Jimmy Butler possibly wants to play in San Antonio. I'll take that too. Oh, you know, be careful of what you hear. Filter, always with a filter. Sift through the news. Make sure it's sources that you trust, not that Twitter would ever take that advice. And then Paul on Twitter, are the Lakers making a mistake not dealing for Kawhi now and risking he doesn't come to LA like Paul George at OKC? Well, that's the deal. The Lakers tried to get Kawhi, but the Spurs wanted the sun, the moon, the stars, the pot of gold, the rainbow, everything else. And I think probably upped the asking price for a reason. They don't really want to trade Kawhi to Los Angeles. I don't think they want to give him what he wants, but they're also not interested in him going to LA. Now, I still say anything can happen. Over the course of a year, people change their minds all the time. Anything can happen. So this puts the Raptors in a good position, just like I was talking about with Manny and the Dodgers. Give him a chance to see what the franchise and the fans and the city have to offer. And if he chooses to go, okay, you tried. But you would have him for a year, a full year, not even at the trade deadline in just a couple of months. You're talking about a full year for him to get acclimated. And isn't he going to want to play best as he possibly can? Show off all of his skills because it's a contract year? Coming off a season in which he only played 9 games and his reputation got damaged. Yeah, I'm thinking he's got great motivation and incentive to kill it in Toronto. Lot going on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on our Twitter. We've got a poll up. The National League could be inching ever closer to adding a DH. A lot of you have very emotional reactions to that. So you can take our Twitter poll or you can send your opinions. I get talking so fast because there's all this breaking news and things come out funny. Just find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, why not?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
As important as he rips one into left. Hit by Trout in the left. It is gone. Here is Contreras. Wilson Contreras goes deep to left. Here's a shot ready into the corner. Back at the wall. Tie game. Trevor Story. That is wiggled out of here. Deep into left and gone off the bat of Segura. Here's Yelich. A fly ball into left center. Back at the wall. An 8-6 game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a record-setting night at the 89th Baseball All-Star Game. Just a sampling of Joe Buck's night at the park on Fox. 10 home runs. In the previous All-Star Games, there have never been more than 6 home runs. There were 8 solo shots among those 10 home runs. And in the 10th inning, you had back-to-back jacks by Astros teammates Alex Bregman and George Springer on 2 pitches. And that essentially gave the American League the win in extras. At least it didn't end in a tie. So yeah, 10 home runs, 8 solo home runs, both records for an All-Star game. There were also 25 strikeouts, which I feel like that's a microcosm for baseball in 2018. I guess if you like fireworks, the Judge home run off Max Scherzer was majestic. It was amazing. The Mike Trout home run off Jacob deGrom was also a blast. He golfed it, though, which was kind of fun. And I think that the battle that we had between Trout and Scherzer early on got a lot of attention. I enjoyed the power versus power, especially the one ball where Trout was just trying to stay alive and muscled it backwards, fouled it off straight into the net behind him. It was like, whoa, this is quite the battle. So that was fun. The Medal of Honor ceremony pregame, I think, was my favorite part. The fact that you had all of those Medal of Honor recipients introduced and honored on the field before the national anthem. And then Dave Roberts, as the manager of the National League team, encouraged all the players to go and shake hands with these veterans who've given so much, and in some cases, body parts. There was one Medal of Honor recipient who waved to the crowd and had a mechanical hand. So that was probably my favorite part of the night, of the pomp and the circumstance. I really appreciated that baseball went out of its way to do that tribute before it started with the first pitch. And the game itself was fun. It doesn't matter anymore, right? But we got a lot of home runs and a lot of strikeouts. So, hey, baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, if you're just waking up, the breaking news, Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan could be swapped straight up. The Raptors and the Spurs have been working furiously through the last couple days and even more so in the last few hours. There may be other players, there may be draft picks, there may be money, but what we know is that Toronto is close to a deal with San Antonio that would ship the disgruntled Kawhi Leonard north of the border to a place where he says he has no interest in signing long term. But I guess that's not enough of a snag for the Raptors, because they're willing to do this deal and in exchange for one of their all-star guards, DeMar, averaging 23 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds last year for a team that won a record 59 games. He played in 80 of them. And I know they got swept the second straight year by the Cavaliers, and I believe they need a shakeup. So I've said this going back to the end of the NBA season, or the end of their NBA season. It wasn't just the fact that they lost to LeBron James and the Cavaliers. There's not a lot of shame in that. The shame, the disgrace, was how they showed up, or how they didn't, I guess, would be more accurate. It was pitiful. It was embarrassing. And I sat in this very chair and called for a change, big time changes, starting with the leadership. Well, they changed Dwayne Casey, but then they promoted a coach from within, which was a little bit odd. That to me is not a change. It's just a Band-Aid. but now DeMar DeRozan for a guy who maybe would only be there 1 year? Love to hear your reaction. A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's do one quick call, 855-212-4227. London, you got 90 seconds in Sacramento. Go.
Absolutely. So this is what I don't get about the DeMar DeRozan change. I know that we're talking about Toronto needing a trade. They've been hovering around the top of the Eastern Conference for the past few years. They always find a way to blow it. And I know that they need a change, but I just don't think that this is the change that they need. I think that they're giving up too much. Like you said, DeMar DeRozan is an all-NBA type guy.
Well, what's Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, yeah. And I know Kawhi Leonard, he's one of the best players in the league, but in my opinion, I don't think that he makes them that much better, right? And I think, like, when you look at the Paul George trade from last year, you know, they gave up something in terms of Oklahoma City. They give up Victor Oladipo, and he ends up being a nice player in Indiana. And I feel like it's too much. I don't think that putting Kawhi in place of DeMar DeRozan moves the needle enough. And obviously, like, there might be different players. Like, who knows what trades they might make further on down the road to complement Kawhi Leonard. But to me, it just I think it's too expensive, and I think that it's more of a Band-Aid. I think the thing is to go another route instead of giving up their main guy that's been there and has been loyal and wants to play in Toronto. You're going to trade the guy that wants to play in Toronto for the guy that is saying he doesn't want to play in Toronto?
Yeah, no, that part I agree with. No, I don't agree with you that it doesn't upgrade them much. Not only is Kawhi a better scorer, more versatile, but he's bigger. He's a two-time All-NBA Defender of the Year. This is a guy who makes them tougher, more physical, and he's a lot bigger, but he can also run the court the same way. So I do think he makes them better, but the problem is it would only be for 1 year if he chooses not to re-sign there. So that's the issue.
Right, the goal is to win a championship, right? And I think that Toronto's in a position to win a championship. They want to win now.
Okay, but not with the group they've got. If they don't make any changes, they're not going to win. We've already seen that.
Yeah,
okay,
so
cool.
I don't know that I think that moving Kawhi to Toronto is going to help them match up better with Golden State. Like, let's say if they get Kawhi and they end up, you know, they have a good postseason. They make it through the Eastern Conference, they get past Boston, they get past Philly, they make it to the finals, and they end up hitting what's probably going to be the Golden State Warriors next year.
Okay, I got you. I said 90 seconds, so you got to wrap it up right now.
All right, that's it, man.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks, London. I appreciate your call. I'm sorry, we're up against the bottom of the hour here, and I want to make sure I mention DeMar's Instagram story before we get to the break. He posted this about an hour and a half ago, maybe. Told one thing, the outcome another. Can't trust him. Ain't no loyalty in this game. Sell you out quickly for a little bit of nothing. Soon you'll understand. Don't disturb. That was all on a black background, white letters. That's it. And it's still up there on DeMar DeRozan's Insta story or whatever it's called. So it sounds like he knows something is coming down.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Leonard against Carter, front court right. Kawhi with a dribble, waiting for a screen from David Lee. Cuts left around that screen, straightaway three. Kawhi Leonard with a straightaway three gives the Spurs a three-point lead. Working a few dribbles against Jermichael Green, down to 8 seconds. Behind the back dribble, taking it right side. Pulls up, mid-range jumper, good for Kawhi Leonard.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bill Schoening with some of Kawhi Leonard's better days in San Antonio. They could very soon be brought to an abrupt end. Looks like, from multiple reports, that the Spurs are serious about shipping Kawhi Leonard to Canada. That doesn't sound like a punishment, does it? I didn't mean it to sound like a punishment. They're shipping him out, and the destination could be the team that had the most wins in the Eastern Conference last year. There we go. That sounds a little more positive. The Toronto Raptors are willing to give up DeMar DeRozan, according to multiple sources. News first broken about 2 hours ago now, so in the middle of our show, that Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan are the centerpieces of a trade between the Spurs and Raptors, according to first Shams. Why do I make it more complicated? Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports. And then Adrian Wojnarowski weighing in, as well as a bunch of other NBA reporters and insiders. So now it's all in. Everybody in the pool on this Wednesday morning. Thanks so much for tuning into our hump show. It's not anything like I thought it was going to be. I thought there'd be more talk about Manny Machado and the DH in the National League, which a lot of you are expressing your opinions about on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we also have a poll I'm going to retweet so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle, because it's been a pretty popular poll with some very divided results. You'll have to check that out, about the National League adding a DH. It's going to be up for the most of hump day, so you can check that out at any time. Coming up Thursday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, tune in to CBS Sports Network and follow the stories of struggle and strength of some of the world's greatest athletes. It's the 2018 CrossFit Games, Road to the Fittest, on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Alan is listening in Toronto. Just got a couple of minutes here, Alan. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call, Amy. I was very eager to talk to you. I'm surmising what DeMar said, and it's just, trying to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. Do not disturb. He may have meant that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, the Raptors were a 59-win team, and you should be enchanted with that team and be in no hurry to even tweak it. True, they lost in four straight to the Cavs. But
okay, but not just lost, Alan. They were embarrassed, and it was the second straight year that they were embarrassed.
But in game two, it was a buzzer beater by DeMar, and that was a backbreaker. That was really bitter medicine to swallow. And if he misses that shot, then I don't know. Maybe things turn out differently. Maybe they do give them a stubborn battle the rest of the way through. And when I heard that Casey was fired, I just couldn't believe it. I was just shocked. It was a travesty, as far as I'm concerned. Coach of the year, and they fire him and they replace him with an in-house coach. So that's what DeMar is trying to say. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, I'd like to talk about the designated hitter.
Quickly,
the National League advantage has the American League at a disadvantage when games are played in the National League. I'd like to see more equal footing, because when the American League pitchers come to the plate, there's chance of injury. They're not hitting as much. And you look at their batting averages, I'm sure the National League has a higher batting average than the American League in the DH and games that are played in the National League. So I'd like to see more equal footing. Both teams should have the designated hitter, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. So you're not sticking to tradition, being a purist. You're saying make it more of an equal playing field for every team, regardless of the park.
Yeah.
Got it.
The National League, I do like I like seeing pitchers come to the plate and making a fool of themselves, picking up those lures and sluggers and making a fool of themselves. So, comic relief, I guess you could say. But I'd like to see both. Either you eliminate the DH or you get both leagues.
Got it.
Having the DH, because, like I said, the National League advantage has the American League at a disadvantage.
Got it. All right, Alan. I appreciate that phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Great talking to you, Amy. Thank you.
You too. I definitely like the fact that we got a caller from Toronto, and some of you are sending me your tweets as well. A-Law Radio, we'll try to work in some of those before the top of the hour. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed my conversation with NFL insider Jason LaCanfora of CBS, he's back from vacation, and his summer is over because training camps begin in a couple of days. Now, the full conversation, including his reaction to Manny Machado getting traded, because he's in Baltimore and an Orioles fan, passionate Orioles fan. That conversation's on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. But I wanted to drop in a bit of it here before we hit the top of the hour, because we talked about Le'Veon Bell and some of the other big storylines in the NFL. So we pick it up where I was asking him about the market for Le'Veon Bell. If he does hit free agency, he'd be a 27-year-old running back by that time he departed from Pittsburgh. So what does the market say that he is worth, Jason?
I could be wrong, but I've had this debate with some NFL executives, just guys with no dog in the fight, but what do you think about the Bell situation? How could he walk away from that much money? And I get it. And if he blows out his knee, you know, week four, then obviously he will have made a monumental mistake. But I believe that on the open market next year, with the cap continuing to go up and with there always being 6 to 8 teams in this league who have infinitely more cap space than they could ever spend, even if they wanted to, and teams that have over the years had difficulty attracting players, it only takes one team, Amy. And will somebody give him $16.5 million a year with 2.5 years of that salary guaranteed or so? You know, upwards of, let's say he gets 16 a year, and that's 32, 38, 39 guaranteed. I don't think it's out of the question. I really don't. And it only takes one. You know, could I see the Jets pay him $16 million a year after they were willing to pay Cousins $30 million a year and he turned them down, and they have a lot of that budgeted money left over, and you've got a young quarterback in Sam Darnold in 2019, and he needs some weapons around him, and they like their young receiver group, and none of those guys are making money yet? I could totally see it. So I do think he'll get that money. The question is, in the meantime, can Todd Gurley or David Johnson raise the bar while Le'Veon Bell has to sit out? He can't negotiate with anybody until next March. So that'll be the question. And what do the Cardinals now do with David Johnson? Because there obviously won't be a Le'Veon Bell long-term deal to negotiate off of. He's obviously still on the franchise tag. Can he go out and get, say, $14 million a year on a long-term deal with, you know, 30-ish million guaranteed, 32-ish million guaranteed? We'll see.
We're spending a few minutes with Jason LaCanfora. That means the summer is nearly over. Our CBS NFL insider joining us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Piece of news that broke today. The Rams give Brandon Cooks a 5-year extension worth roughly $80 million. So as we project forward now, Jace, what does that mean for Julio Jones?
I don't think it really means much. Julio, I mean, he got his payday. You know, I mean, Julio decided to make a deal a few years back, which was it every single penny he could possibly get? No, but it was better than having to play out a fifth year and getting franchised and all that stuff, you know, which is a trade-off. You're taking the bird in hand, and you're mitigating your injury risk, and maybe you're not getting every dime you would get if you played out your contract for another 18 months, but you also don't have to play out your contract for another 18 months before you know, how much real money you're going to get beyond what you came into slotted as a rookie. So I don't think it has that much to do with it. I think like if Odell Beckham got 3 years, $65 million fully guaranteed, I think that's when Julio Jones' bell would start ringing and say, wait a minute, the market has just moved monumentally in a way that we haven't seen it before. Similar to what the Cousins deal has already done for, you know, and will continue to do for quarterbacks down the road. So I don't know that it affects it that much. I mean, to me, this is just another deal that's in line with what guys got on the open market. Now, Cooks wasn't on the open market, and Sammy Watkins was, and I think that $16 million a year is going to look really bad really soon for the Chiefs. And again, Jarvis Landry, I think he's going to have a hard time. I think that offense will be better, and I think he'll contribute, but I don't know that he's going to be a $16 million receiver in the slot for the Browns either, but he got that money. So Cooks is interesting to me, Amy, because two of the best coaches I've ever seen in my lifetime walked away from this kid in 2 years.
Ah.
So, and the Rams just gave him $16 million a year, and he's never paid a snap for them. But Sean Payton said, I can live without him. And Bill Belichick on a team that Edelman's got his suspension, and they don't have skilled players at all, and he said, I can live without him. That would give me a little pause.
One of the things that we just found out in the last couple days is that the NFL has yet again seen an increase in revenue, a record 8 $8 billion with a B, $8 billion distributed to the member club. So distributed to the 32 teams. So, Jason, I'm using my air quotations when it comes to controversy in the NFL because it doesn't feel like it has affected anything, considering all of the news around football. What does it mean to you when you hear record amounts of revenue?
I'm not surprised in the least, and I've been writing this repeatedly through the offseason when it comes to, you know, player contracts and who got what and people saying the Cousins deal is, you know, crazy and how could you do that? And I'm like, when you take a step back and you look at this at the macro level, don't get caught up in the sort of culture war over players taking a knee and what it allegedly means and Papa John and Donald Trump. Follow the money. Everybody complains about Thursday Night Football. What did Fox do? It blew the roof off it, right? It paid way more than anybody else has ever paid for a product that everybody's saying is deteriorating. Then you have in early January, Verizon comes in, there's a $2 billion streaming deal. And there's going to be, eventually somebody's going to pay for the right to do, I'm going to butcher this, is it GIFs or GIFs or whatever? All the stuff that the NFL's saying you can't do on social media right now, eventually Twitter or Facebook or someone is going to bid to be the exclusive place where you can do that. And oh, yeah, you can now gamble legally in like 5 states, and 5 years from now it'll probably be 25. So what does that mean for the NFL and proprietary data? And you want all this stuff that only we have rights to? Well, William Hill or Ladbrokes or whatever, you can bid to be the official, you know, we're only going to give one of you guys betting powers in stadiums. What do you think that would go for?
Jason makes some good points, even more of them if you catch that full conversation on our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. We always tweet the link when the show is over from our account, AfterHoursCBS, and the link is also posted on our Facebook page, but we would encourage you to subscribe or to bookmark it on the web. And Jason's back from his vacation. He said summer is over because training camps start very soon. We covered some other ground as well with him, so spring training, there I go again. Training camp storylines was the last thing we hit, and he had me 3 seconds in. Huge grin on my face. You'll have to check that out. All right, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Some of your responses to the breaking news. Kawhi Leonard reportedly headed to Toronto in exchange for DeMar DeRozan, who would head to San Antonio. We don't know other details, but those would be the centerpieces. Chris on Twitter, I really think the Raptors take a step back if they get Leonard. We saw how he was last year with the Spurs. Don't know what he will give in Toronto. DeRozan is a key piece who plays hard day in and day out. He says this could set Toronto back for years. Man, I just don't agree with that. Kawhi Leonard is going into a contract year. He does not want to have another season where he only plays 9 games and his reputation is damaged. The man wants to make some money. And I think that he's in the prime of his career, probably misses playing basketball too. Let's see. Kevin, doesn't make much sense to get rid of DeRozan, the cornerstone of the team, to bring in Leonard. I figured it would be in addition to him and Lowry. So yeah, not a lot of you are on board with this. Bunch of you saying you don't want to see it. Now, these are Raptors fans, so I understand why it's hard to let go one of your franchise guys. Another tweet, Raptors better not trade him unless they're getting a sign and trade for Leonard. Yeah, that's not happening either. And Stefan says, I hope the Raptors don't give up much more than DeMar. That was a huge trade. All right, we'll talk to you tonight. We've got more details after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.